Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. Hello, this is Todd Perry, and welcome to PPM Simplifies. We are joined today by an amazing professional engineer on our team, Mr. Brandon Bass, out of our Birmingham, Alabama office. Brandon is an LSU graduate, and he is a professional and has practiced the world of environmental compliance, and especially has a unique handle perspective on greenhouse gases. So we're so happy he's joined us today. Brandon, top of the day to you. How are you?
Hey, Todd, doing great. It's great to be here. You know, always enjoy talking about air permitting, compliance, and in particular today, our topic, greenhouse gases. I feel like it's fascinating, especially where culture and society are headed. So I feel like this is just sets up to be a good conversation for today.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So let's dive into it. So Brandon, let's take it from the top. Exactly what are greenhouse gases and how do they affect our climate?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we hear a lot of today about greenhouse gas and climate change, and I felt like it'd just be good to kind of take a step back and what are greenhouse gases? And so, you know, the science around greenhouse gas and the greenhouse gas effect is very settled. I mean, the greenhouse gas effect essentially is the way in which, you know, heat is trapped close to the Earth's surface by greenhouse gases. And that's why they're called greenhouse gases. You know, scientists have determined that this carbon dioxide's warming effect helps stabilize the Earth's atmosphere. And really it's, you know, the greenhouse gas effect is sometimes called the Goldilocks effect because it keeps our planet just perfect for us to live in. You know, it's fall, you know, cool weathers, warm in the day. So, you know, without the right amount of greenhouse gas levels, you know, it's either going to be an ice age or, you know, we're all going to be burning on fire. So it's interesting. The greenhouse gas effect is a naturally occurring thing. It comes from, you know, several different types of gases, primarily carbon dioxide. And you'll hear a lot about carbon dioxide is in terms of carbon dioxide equivalents. And so that's different levels of other pollutants of greenhouse gases that have different weightings. Like some contribute more to the greenhouse gas effect than others. But to equate that, you know, we regulators and rules and scientists have figured out a way to kind of make that in terms of CO2 equivalent. And just as another, you know, reminder, you know, it's greenhouse gases are natural occurring for a good bit of it. You know, CO2 is what we breathe out. Trees and plants need that to live. And so there is a cycle, a natural balance that occurs. And so having greenhouse gases aren't bad. It keeps us alive and it keeps things growing. So that's essentially what greenhouse gases are and, you know, how it affects climate.
And that's pretty amazing. You know, you think about it, the design in that, if you gave me 1,000 years, I couldn't even engineer.
I know. It's yeah. How it all comes together and how it's all balanced and stays operating is pretty amazing. It's incredible.
It absolutely is. Absolutely is. So, we get a sense, you know, greenhouse gas naturally occurring. Now, again, there are certainly man-made emissions too. We'll talk about that, but it is part of our normal cycle to kind of keep our atmosphere and our environment normal. We can live in it. So what's the impact, you know, how as humans, how do we affect greenhouse gas?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's really where our conversation in society is headed is, you know, what's our impact as humans? And I would say that, you know, although the science is settled on greenhouse gas and the greenhouse gas effect itself, I would say that the science is strong, but not totally settled on our impact as humans. It is well documented that carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere are increasing. You know, if you look back over the last 100 years, we have the Industrial Revolution and we have measurable increases in CO2 and CO2e equivalents, CO2e, over the past 100 years. And that's more and above and beyond the normal just climate variations of, you know, ebbs and flows and the change of climate, carbon dioxide. And so there's definitely measurable increases. There's also other documented changes like, you know, average surface temperature increasing, increasing ocean temperatures, shrinking ice sheets, reduced snow cover, and sea level rise. So there's measurable changes as well, and just other factors of the climate. You know, lately we've also heard about increased extreme weather events like hurricanes, tornadoes, you know, wildfires, flooding. I mean, you know, this past week was an example of that with Hurricane Ida. You know, really a pretty big storm hitting South Louisiana and kind of rolling through and then going all the way up into the Northeast and creating a lot of flooding. And so that's pretty crazy to have that much. And so, you know, it's just very interesting to see that how we've been tracking all of this and how that's changed. I think you had an interesting point around technology, right? Didn't you have what?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you're laying out a lot of good information, and you think about it, you know, the advances we made in our culture and our society and how comfortable we are. I mean, think about air conditioning. Air conditioning was, you know, not common. It's really, I mean, not even in the Northwest, everyone has air conditions because the climate typically is very temperate, very cool. They had a kind of a really warm summer, but all these advances we enjoy, that comes from the industrial revolution, technology revolution we're enjoying today. But we talked about natural disasters, and one thing I'm gonna look at, you know, the last natural disaster feels like the worst one because no one wants to go through that.
Absolutely.
It's very difficult. But, you know, one thing I think is interesting is let's look at, you know, fatalities related to natural disasters. And what we've seen since the turn of the century, since 1900s, 120 years ago, we would average millions of deaths a year via natural disasters, droughts, floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, cyclones, et cetera. And as you look at the last decade, we've averaged about 12,000 deaths per year. So, yeah, I mean, crazy. It's just a huge fraction. And I think that's through monitoring, tracking, being able to exchange information, be more protective, evacuate people. So, you know, it's a balance because, although, you know, the climate change is always going to occur. We've been changing from day one, millions of years ago when this earth began to spin. That's just the natural evolution of it. But the advances we've made, it's pretty incredible. So those things.
Yeah, that's around a great point. I mean, it's just, you brought that point up and I just was like, wow, that's so interesting that really, you know, like Hurricane Ida is a great example. We knew there was a big hurricane coming and people were told to evacuate, you know, 4 days ahead of time. And, you know, people were given plenty of warning and, you know, we didn't have that, at the turn of the century. And so although these climate events are maybe increasing and maybe it's just because we're more aware of them now, you know, we have all social media and news that can spread just as quickly as everything else. And so we're a lot more aware of wildfires in California when we're in the Southeast and, or a tsunami that's, you know, on the other side of the globe. And so, but we're also aware of that well in advance and can prepare people for that and to really keep people out of harm's way. So, yes, it's really interesting. I think ultimately the main takeaway though is that, you know, humans certainly have some impact on climate, and that left unchecked could really cause issues. But how long that will take and what the issues are, I think, are still pretty unknown. Irregardless of that, you know, I feel like we're supposed to be good stewards of the earth that we've been given. You know, we talked about that fragile nature of the atmosphere. We want to keep that. And, you know, we want to be able to give that to the next generation and our kids and everything like that. And so, you know, I think, you know, it's good to look at that. I'm not certainly not calling for an end to fossil fuels. In fact, I'm very thankful for them. You know, it's the reason why we have affordable electricity and modes of transportation and so many other creature comforts that, yeah, I think it's, I'm very, like I said, very thankful, but I don't think it's, you know, we should turn that spigot off immediately. I think it's important for us to keep an open mind and just have a conversation about what we're doing and how we're using things and how we're going to use things going forward. And so I think that's the biggest takeaway for how as we as humans have an impact.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that, Brandon. I think you've set the table really nicely for greenhouse gases and effects. So that would take us into so we understand some of the challenges that you've touched on. What are the trends? What legislatively is coming down the road for greenhouse gas regulations? Obviously, there's a lot of dialogue, so there are going to be rules coming out. So give us some insight there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's no secret that this new administration with President Biden has taken a different stance than the last administration. And so, you know, they're looking to kind of set more goals, go back to the Paris Climate Accord, reduce greenhouse gas emission levels. So even if you might disagree on the human impact of greenhouse gases, and that's totally okay, there's the inevitable aspect that there's, you know, federal and state regulations that are impacting industry. So, you know, let's look at some examples and recent headlines. One of them would be, you know, proposed rule to revise the national greenhouse gas emission standards for passenger cars and light trucks. That was updated EPA standards as of, you know, August of 2021. Another one would be Democrats propose a broader tax based on countries' greenhouse gas emissions. So that's from the New York Times back in beginning of August 2021. And that's basically saying, hey, we want to start taxing imports from other countries that aren't significantly reducing greenhouse gas emissions. So it's like a greenhouse gas tax on other countries that aren't doing their share. Another one, UN Climate Report expected to drive U.S. regulations and litigation. So that's from Bloomberg Law of you know, August of 2021. So basically what that was about was a recent intergovernmental panel on climate change, the IPCC, could provide legislatures and regulations support for rulemaking. So this is this big document report that said, hey, humans are having an impact. And so now it provides ammunition, in a sense, for regulators and legislatures to go out and say, hey, look, here's evidence to prove that we need to do something. And so, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's coming out. You know, another one, bipartisan support for clean energy appears to be growing. That's from The Hill in last month. Biden will not back down on climate plans, says EPA chief. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are coming out. And even one as recently as just within the past week or so, that the methane rule to eclipse past regulations, including Obama's. So, you know, EPA administrator confirmed last week that they're looking to meet President Biden's September deadline to propose methane regulations for the oil and gas sector. So, you know, President Biden had one of his first executive orders to lay out some ways that we're going to change, you know, and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And so, you know, this is the EPA administrator confirming that, hey, we're working on it and it's coming soon. So I think there's a lot of talk and not just talk. I think people are certainly in the administration are working on that. And it's certainly something to keep an eye on and kind of gauge as we go forward.
I think that's spot on with this. With these trends, you know, coming down the pipe, these rules on their way, being formulated now, what industries are going to have some of the biggest exposures to greenhouse gas regulations, potential regulations?
Yeah, so that's a good point. I don't know if many people know this, but large industries have been reporting greenhouse gas emissions for the past 10 years in the United States, and it's all publicly available. It's on EPA's website. It's called FLIGHT, the Facility Level Information on Greenhouse Gas Emissions Tools. Pretty straightforward there. And the data is very granular. You can go in and you can look at the map and you can zoom in on your state and your area or different parts of the country. You can get a list of emitters. You can look at trends and bar charts and pie charts. So it's really interesting, all the data that's there. And if you start to look at that data, one of the biggest things that jumps out is power plant emissions. They're 58.5% of the total large facility emitters of greenhouse gases in the U.S. To kind of give you a sense of what that looks like, that is about 1.7 billion metric tons of CO2 equivalents a year. So that's a good bit. The next largest would be the petroleum and natural gas systems at 12%, which is 340 million metric tons. So remember, power plants were 1.7 billion. This is 300 million. So kind of a big difference. So, you know, when you're we're thinking about, okay, well, what facilities could be impacted by regulations? You know, obviously power is the biggest one. You know, it's the one that sticks out, and then that's the one that we've heard about. You know, we're looking at reducing emissions from power plants, that kind of stuff. And the next one, like I said, is petroleum and natural gas systems. And if you couple that with refineries, which are another 6%, that's about 18% coming just from the oil and gas sector. And so you can kind of see, and you can even drill down on the data there to say, okay, what sources within our petroleum and natural gas system or refinery or whatever are contributing the largest piece to that facility or that unit or whatever. You can even go and search the map and look at other facilities, specific facilities to identify that data. So, but when you look at it as far as a trend basis, you know, we've talked about power plant emissions a lot over the last 10 years. And although it has the highest percentage, it does have a decreasing trend. So, that's good to know. So I think, you know, power plants and petroleum and natural gas systems, oil and gas are the kind of the two big ones to keep in mind.
Fantastic insight. And that EPA flight tool is an excellent tool to look and drill down and just kind of see what the impact is locally, area wide, et cetera. So Brandon, what are your thoughts about what can facilities do to prepare for these, you know, potential regulations coming down the pike?
Yeah. So I would say the first thing would be to conduct a emission analysis with some benchmarking. So we talked about the flight tool. You can go in and look at specific facilities. You know, is there, have you been reporting and how do you compare? If not, do you have some other industry source types that are similar to you that you can compare your emissions to? You know, are you a top emitter in your category? That'd probably be good to know. You know, are you going to be a target on someone's list if some new regulations come out? The next one would be to look at your specific sources. Are there one or two sources that make up a majority of your emissions? You know, and just, you know, challenge you to think about how could you reduce emissions from those one or two sources. Even a small reduction at the largest source can really help and kind of make your emissions decrease and also look better as a from a benchmarking scale. And the last one is, you know, do you have an emissions reduction plan or goal? We've heard a lot about large facilities and companies coming out with carbon neutral goals or even carbon negative goals. That's a big deal for facilities that are publicly traded. You know, it's definitely on investors' minds. And so it's something to keep in mind as facilities are looking at that. So the three takeaways are, you know, how do you benchmark? What are your sources? And do you have any big outliers of large emitting sources? And do you have a emission reduction plan? And so, you know, I think those are three good takeaways to kind of think about as you look at the upcoming regulations and regulatory trends of how does your facility compare and how do you get ready for that?
That's awesome, Brandon. Man, thank you so much for your time today. That is great insight into greenhouse gases and what's coming and how to prepare for them. If they want more information, they can reach out to our website, via our website, ppmco.com. They can reach you through that website. Just you know, let us know what you'd like to talk about. We're happy to discuss it and work with anybody. So I think that wraps us up on this episode of PPM Simplifies. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to our podcast. Brandon, thanks so much again for your time. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Absolutely, man. And so until next time, this is PPM Simplifies. Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.